All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I was talking about the recession that's coming. And it doesn't matter whether it's Joe Biden, whether it's Donald Trump, whoever it is, it doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans. We're headed towards some difficult, difficult days. No question whatsoever. Massive layoffs hit one of the top U.S. aluminum plants, halting operations. One of the U.S. top aluminum manufacturing plants has made massive cutbacks to its workforce, putting a halt to all operations for at least 9 months, citing an unprecedented rise in global energy prices. Century Aluminum in Kentucky announced they will be laying off 628 smelters, Hallsville smelter employees starting August 5th. In fact, mass layoffs are happening nationwide as fears of an economic downturn continue to escalate. It added that in order to pause their operations for such a lengthy period, the layoff of the 628 Hallsville smelter employees would need to take place. The 628 employees also included 504 employees represented by the United Steel, Paper, and Forestry, Rubber, Manufacturing, Energy, Allied Industrial Service Workers Union, and American Federation of Labor Congress of Industrial Organizations, the letter slated. Now, let me back that up with this. Our economic house is on fire. One of the reasons we are seeing higher prices is market concentration. The baby formula situation is one of the examples where we have a small handful of companies that are really serving the market. And so at the root of all of the increased prices and all of those things is something that is counter to what America is supposed to be. You know, capitalism is supposed to represent competition. That's what I always thought. That's what I always read. That's what the understanding of it is, that the more competition you have, the better prices people are going to receive, and the more that competition interacts with one another, the better it'll be for the American people. I always thought that's what capitalism was. Competition between the businesses. But then how do we get to a point where there's so many, there's only a handful of companies in many sectors because they've been forced, competition has been taken out of the equation. How did that happen? How did we get to a point where our elected officials allowed individual corporations to buy up all the competition? You know, that's what we've been dealing with in this country for a long time now. And we don't think about it. We don't give it a second thought until recessions come into being, where now you start looking at things and you say, as this article is talking about, it's talking about the baby formula situation where there used to be hundreds of those companies. And now there's only a handful of them. How did that happen in a capitalistic society? You got to ask those questions, because it didn't happen by osmosis. It happened under the edict of people whose jobs it is to look at those things and make sure those things don't happen. You know, I mean, that's the whole purpose of the way our government is situated and set up. We always talk about the founding fathers and what the nation was. We need to talk about what it is. And what it is a far cry from what it was, even in my lifetime. And so they've allowed corporations to cannibalize other corporations. So the prices can be, can rise on the American people. The what's in the best interest of you and I is no longer at the front of the line when it comes to what's taking place in this country. It is, we don't even matter, you know. It's the major corporations, as Tom and others always talk about, that own our elected officials, you know. And we're gonna delve a little deeper into this. So if this is something that you're bored with, I'm sorry, but I got to continue it. Who do we have online?
Up first, we have Ron from Milwaukee.
Hey, Ron, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning. Well, you're right. Economics is supposedly called the dismal science because it's so boring and tedious and mathematical. But the fact is, we understand very well through conventional and progressive economic theories what's going on, which happened once before. The United States had relatively unregulated business growth in the 1800s, the late 1800s. And that led to, Standard Oil Company running oil production and J.P. Morgan running all the banks and these guys and the railroads. And when they amass too much power, they can start telling government what to do because politicians rely on campaign contributions. That is, and other kinds of special interest enabling, you know, putting money into institutes that try to educate people to the way these capitalists think.
Hey Ron, do you think that the American people understand, the majority of us, what you just said? And I'm not saying that they're not smart enough to know, but they're just not. That just doesn't interest us.
Well, I think the devil is in the details. If you don't understand how we got here and what's going on that allows this to go on, get worse, then you're part of the problem. You know, I mean, you're going to repeat history, and history led us to several great recessions in the early 1900s and the Great Depression that lasted for like 25 years.
Right.
And people don't get that. So I do think we're going back there, and the underlying reason is for the last 30 or 40 years, we've had governments, largely Republican, but there were some, Yellow Dog Democrats as well, moderate or conservative Democrats, who were all in favor of deregulation. And that was, that was beginning in the Reagan era. Let's deregulate. Let's untether business, and the profits will trickle down to all of you. And we have to give businesses tax cuts. Right now, everybody's complaining about gasoline prices. Well, you've got to remember, the federal government gives billions and billions of dollars, more than a trillion in the last two decades.
To those companies.
To the oil industry.
Yes.
They're highly profitable, but we subsidize them. Now give me an example of another business that's highly profitable, but we give them billions of dollars because why? You know, because they've got the power to ask for it. You know? And President, you're right on when you say presidents doesn't matter party affiliation, have no power to regulate gasoline prices, except at the margins. Biden is asking for this sales tax holiday for 3 months, which would cost the government $10 billion, which is chump change now, and Republicans are against it. But, you know, the reality is that's about all. He can release a little bit of oil from the Strategic Oil Reserve. He can try to get that done, which has been done in the past. Richard Nixon, that conservative Republican, had this very problem with galloping inflation, and he decided the way to fix it was to impose wage and price controls. Do you remember that era?
Yes, absolutely.
It led to hyperinflation. It was horrible because you immediately, as soon as you put a cap on things, it causes a recession, and it got rid of inflation, but it cost the country financially. You know, all sorts of little people got hurt as a result of that. So, yeah, presidents can take action, but it's like going nuclear, and you're going to cause massive damage in order to fix this problem. But we wouldn't be here if the Fed and the Congress and the people that elect them were paying attention over the years to the directions we were taking and deregulating these industries.
You know, Ron, man, it is so good to hear you, because I know that what I'm talking about is true, and I know that there are people who are going to be hurt, right? They don't even know it's coming. And to me, the people who can least afford to have this happen aren't aware of it. They can't weather the storm. You know what I mean, Ron? That's what's... Hey, Ron, hang on hang on a second if you can. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, just talking generically about, what is going on in this country economically and what has been going on for a long, long time, as Ron has said. And Ron, I want to say this to you before and let you respond. You know, we've been watching this, and I keep telling people I just turned 68. So I do understand, we've seen this develop in your and my lifetime. And we saw the nation go from the capitalistic tenets that it had that made the middle class what it was during your and my lifetime. And we now see where a handful of businesses and corporations have now, cannibalized all of those other, the competition. And at the root of all of that is those corporations now being monopolies and basically enabled to charge whatever price it is they want to charge to the American people. And yet the American people, we've been kind of busy washing the dishes and cleaning the house and the kitchen, and have not realized that the house is on fire. And so in your and my lifetime, maybe we can overcome these things, but what do we see in the future, Ron, is what I'm talking about, at the rate things are going now?
Well, I don't think it's irreversible. A couple of key components to this are that under decades of Reaganism, Reaganomics, and Republican conservative politics, the Federal Trade Commission and the Securities and Exchange Commission basically stopped regulating these big businesses to any important extent. There was a famous antitrust case against Microsoft when it was the number one computer industry power in the 80s, 90s, and the Clinton administration's securities people and Federal Trade people filed a major lawsuit against them. Europe did too. Europe went ahead with this lawsuit and won. Unfortunately, in the U.S., we don't have a parliamentary form of government, so Bill Clinton had to leave office. George Bush came into office, and the new Bush administration obliterated that lawsuit while it was still going. Just said we're going to withdraw the lawsuit from the Justice Department. You know, so Microsoft got to do what it was doing, and that's happened over and over again. I do think we should go back to something that never happened. Again, this is reaching deep into history, but I think that's what people have to do. FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, almost single-handedly saved us from the Great Depression, creating work programs, public works programs, and so forth. Well, for round two, in his later terms, he and his advisors came up with something they called the Second Bill of Rights or Economic Bill of Rights. And you should go look that up sometime. It was never enacted. Congress fought it fiercely, and it really just never came. It would have required constitutional amendments. But it guaranteed a living, working wage for every American. It guaranteed health care for every American, no matter their background or means. And it was all these economic things that would have filled the playing field. One other thing, I know I'm going on here. One other thing, one big thing that happened was that there was an assault by corporations and conservatives on the labor movement and labor unions. You know, we kept hearing about big bosses running labor.
Right.
Well, about the big bosses running corporations? Those are okay. And basically, labor organized labor.
Hey, Ron, we're losing you, man, but thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Call anytime, man. Really enjoy your conversation. Let's go to Tom in L.A. And you know, Tom, he was talking about these major corporations, and especially the ones oil and gasoline and the energy sector. And all of those things right now are going to be the death nail for the average citizen. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, Earl, first off, Ron is 100% correct. The only thing I would try to correct him on would be that instead of calling it subsidies, which no one knows a subsidy from a hole in the ground, we call it corporate welfare, because that's basically what it is.
That's fair enough.
You know, instead of unregulated capitalism, I think we need to say taking the referees off the field, because that's basically what it is. We have unfettered a corporate who have, again, because of Citizens United and other types of, if anyone out there doesn't know what Citizens United is, please look it up. It basically made it so corporations can give unlimited funds to politicians. And basically make it so the politicians are owned by the corporations. And, you know, and then we end up with no type of referees on the field to, which they would call regulation. And because of that, we are where we're at. We have monopolies.
So, Tom, I mean, if people would just listen to what you just said, right? I mean, the fact that our elected officials that we are getting ready to elect and those who've been in those positions are owned by the corporations. Come on, man.
Right.
And yet we're all ramping up for election time.
And if you notice, Earl, I'm not saying like some of the conservative callers that call in, I'm not blaming one party or the other.
I know, I said it's all.
The system is screwed up.
Right.
The whole system is screwed up. And the thing that happens, I see, because I work for a monopoly, a company that's a monopoly, and it's the internet business.
Right.
Which I find absolutely appalling, because there's really only two companies or three companies that are running our internet and the infrastructure that goes along with it. So there aren't a lot of choices, and they can raise the pricing on people for internet or cable or phone, you know, anytime that they want to, because there is no competition. And that's something that's going to affect people at a very, very local level if we don't get some competition in the marketplace. But we're not going to get competition in the marketplace when the people that are supposed to be the referees are all being bought off. I mean, some of these people, you watch on a Sunday afternoon a football game, and if a referee doesn't call the right call, or if a referee doesn't, you know, throw a flag on something, you got people, I don't care if it's left, right, center, where it is, they're flipping out like unbelievably, like their life just ended. Well, this is what's happening on a, I'll never forget Paul Ryan talking about how bad the referees were against the Packer-Seahawks game because they had the scrub refs that were in there. And he works for the federal government where he wants all the referees off the field. So to me, it's we're going to have this problem until we get rules back in the game on capitalism.
Tom,
to keep capitalism.
It's a great analogy. And the reason that I say the rules won't get back on the field is you're expecting the people who benefit by those rules to somehow overturn the rules?
No, absolutely. That's
okay,
why
so,
Paul said.
Hey, Tom, we'll continue it after the break. Call back. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Keep me searching for.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. You know I'm talking about, you know, what is coming down the pike. And I don't get any... there's nothing that I benefit from by having these conversations. I don't hate the government. I don't dislike it. That's not what this is. This is the fact that at some point in time, the American people are going to have to wake up and face the reality of what is happening in our country. And it is our country. And so as Tom always says, it's our country. It's not the corporation's country. But I don't know. You know, when you look and see that corporations control it all, and you and I don't seem to control anything, and I'll just say this, and then we'll go back to Tom. Another market that shows these fundamental issues in terms of structure is the energy sector, oil and gasoline. One of the interesting things that happened in the United States was when Russia invaded Ukraine. And oil and gas prices went up. Let me see if I need to repeat that, because I keep hearing people on the right say Joe Biden is the reason that the oil prices and the gasoline prices are so high. Let me read that again. One of the interesting things that happened in the United States was the Russia invaded Ukraine and oil and gas prices went up. The Biden administration said we are not importing any more oil from Russia, which makes sense. Now the supply is lower, the prices should be higher. It all makes perfect sense. However, the United States doesn't rely that much on Russian oil. There are many ways to compensate for it, and yet gasoline prices went up quite a bit. The question is why? A lot of companies in the United States are taking advantage of the situation and masking it under the disguise of the world coming to an end. That's why the prices are higher. They can do it now, and nobody's going to notice. Furthermore, nobody's going to stop them. Tom, that's at the root of all of it.
Absolutely. And that's
Veronica Dollar. She is an assistant professor of politics and economics and law at sunny old Westbury.
Yeah, it's the love of money, and it's the greed, and it's the craving for power, I guess. These people that are the billionaires, they don't even live in the world that we live in, and they don't understand that they're destroying actually our whole nation.
And they really should be our enemies.
Right?
They made it that way.
Right. Instead, we prop them up like their lifestyle is the rich and famous.
Right.
Oh, boy, let's follow them. I mean, it's disgusting. You know, if we don't end up with someone like FDR, like Paul was saying, that can fix all of this.
Ron. Yeah.
And hopefully that person doesn't show up in a dictator's suit that actually brings fascism to full gear. Then, you know what, I don't know what we can do. Joe Biden has a lot of tools in his toolbox, I think, that he could actually do through executive action. Of course, everyone would say he's a dictator.
So as Ron stated, though, Tom, you know, this is not – you got to ask the question why. And when we talk about the Founding Fathers and the Constitution and all of those things – think about this. Presidents can only get 8 years, right?
Right.
Congress and Senate, yeah, can be forever.
Right.
Okay. So that means that the president can't be the most powerful person when we're talking, because they're only here for a short time.
They can only be forever. They can only be forever if people keep on voting them in.
Well,
every 2 years, maybe.
But Tom, you can't keep on voting the president in because there's no such provision.
Correct.
My point is that why is it the case that Congress and Senate have limitless, you know, times? And maybe it's that they thought that you can't afford to turn over Congress and Senate. You know, and the government maybe would not be able to survive if they were, you know, turned over so often. But they put that in place where, you know, they rotate the times that they run on the Senate, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, those people are being bought off by corporations and lobbyists in Washington. And that's one of the reasons why they stay in office, because they're the ones that are going to fool the American people by having commercials that actually say the opposite of what they do. I think we need to have a little bit of truth in advertising in our political, you know, system with commercials, as an example.
Hey Tom.
It's just, yeah, there's a lot of problems.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Sam, who do we have up next?
Jack from Merrimack.
Hey, Jack, what's going on, man? How you doing? Long time no hear from.
Yeah, I'm doing just peachy keen, as my granny used to say.
Yeah.
This whole oil problem, there's a whole bunch of things involved, including the obvious greed of the oil companies. But where this really stems from, I was reading an article dated April 30th, 2020, that basically stated Trump negotiated, actually he pressured, Mohammed Ben Salman, the Saudi prince,
right,
and Putin, and he pressured both of them to make a total of 9.7 million barrels a day in production cuts. And now when Biden went to try to talk to MBS, he was unsuccessful. The guy wouldn't even talk to Biden. Of course, Putin's not on real friendly terms with us at this point either. So those production cuts are going to remain in place. The second thing, though, is that I'm a stockholder in one of the major oil companies, and I know it's greed because I watched the quarterly report, which the previous quarter had about a $4 billion profit, not how much they actually were paid, but the total profit was about $4 billion and went up about 2.5 times in the last quarter. So that's the second thing. Now, what can Biden do about it? Well, if he can get the cooperation of Congress, which is going to be very difficult to do.
Which he can't get.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but if he could do that, he could do what I think it's Prime Minister of the UK managed to put a basically an excess profits tax on the oil company.
Boris Yeltsin.
Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson. Yeah, right.
He managed to get an excess profits tax passed, and he's returning some of that money to the people of Great Britain. If we could get any cooperation, if the Republicans weren't so hypocritical about, blame, but we won't do anything for you to help,
because
we could actually do something similar.
Well, because the Republicans are just talking about things. They don't have any answers to any of this, right? I mean, if they're in office, nothing changes. The oil prices don't go down. Well, you hear people say, we'll drill more, we'll drill more. That's what we need. We need to open up more drilling. That's not going to be the answer. That's not going to change it because it's now global. And the greed, as you stated, has set in. Go ahead.
I mean, we've got to do something also about this thing called the mineral depletion allowance, which has been characterized by magazines like Forbes, which is not exactly a bastion of liberal politics, as the largest tax break in the history of the world. Basically, that oil company that I own stock in, they're supposed to pay, the maximum tax on a company is like 20%, and they don't pay anywhere near that on their real profit, because they're able to use this depletion allowance to cut their taxes way, way back.
So
that's another thing that has to be changed.
Jack, how do you, and you're a retired educator, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Good memory, man.
So here's the deal. That's not being taught in school. None of this is being taught in school. Why, they're always talking about what should be taught in school and what shouldn't be taught in school. The way our government is structured and situated, I think should be taught in school. The truth about the way the government is situated. You can talk about the founding fathers. You can talk about all of those things, but none of those things in everyday life help people who struggle in the wealthiest nation on earth. And I just have a problem with the fact that the way our government is set up, it's buyer beware. And so...
And it's the rich that are the buyers.
That's correct.
They're looking out for themselves.
Right. And so they set down that control, and there never should be a provision or anything called buyer beware. Because if you're in this for the best interest of the American people, and we're all citizens of this government and people who fight, bled, and died for this nation, then why do you have a provision such as you got to read the small print? Why would our elected officials allow that kind of pilfering to continue to go on and the American people suffer that price? And if they're not smart enough to know it, then they're going to be routed in their own country by fellow countrymen. What sense does that make?
We need what you're right. I taught science, and science looks at objective facts. And I tried to get my students to the point where they would look at the facts of any situation, not just chemistry or physics. But the real issue is that I think we need to teach our students some very basic economics, and not just buyer beware, and not just supply and demand economics. We need to have them understand where all this money is going.
Hey Jack.
And the money that's going into the policy.
I wish we had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. Be right back.
This is where.
Smart Asset Realty offers everything necessary to help you successfully evaluate, acquire, and maintain any size property and maximize a property's potential value. Whether it's the first time you are purchasing a house or managing your next apartment complex, we are here to reach your real estate goals. Start investing now. We take the headaches, you keep the profit. Contact us at 262-232-8738 or visit us at smartassetrealty.com.
Se habla español.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I really do speak for people who don't know, right? I mean, they don't know. And it is not a good thing that you can take advantage of people who don't know in this country. How is that a good thing? How is that something that our nation should be proud of? You know, that people who go and fight and fight for democracy, they say, and then when they get back here, there's somebody looking to stick their hands in their pockets and take whatever minute resources that they were able to get for going overseas and putting their life on the line so the rich can get richer. And yet that continues to happen and nobody says anything about it. And that can't be a good thing. And then the poorest of the poor, who do you hear people say, well, everybody in this country has a chance. That's the great thing about America. Everybody in this country has a chance for success. That's who we are. We're Americans. And that's at the root of why everybody from all over the world wants to come here, because of how great our nation is and all of those things. But those people don't even know. They don't know anything about the country. They just know about what they're told. And so, just like many of us, we only know what we're told. And the information that I'm talking about is available. It's everywhere for everybody in this country. But as Ron said earlier, it just so happens that at the root of almost all of this is Republican. Has been, continues to be, and yet people, the average person, continues to ride with these people, not even understanding what those people are doing to them. I don't know, maybe just because it feels good to say I'm a Republican. Maybe that's what it is. But if you delved into Republican policies over the decades and over the centuries, you would realize that it is at the root of them is a policy that does not benefit the average American citizen. Just true. But it must make you feel good to say I'm a Republican. I've made it in the society. I'm one of the few who got through, and so because I did, everybody should be able to get through. No, that's not it. You've got a flag that people fought, bled, and died for, and continue to fight and die for, and you got to get people to force those in power, to force them to stand up to what that flag supposedly stands for. It's not there because the 4th of July is just around the corner, that everybody has an Independence Day parade, and they walk around with the flag, and we talk about how great the flag is and how great the nation is. No, that's not it. You know, that part of it is nothing more than, you know, feel good. You know, I own a nice house. I drive a nice car. I got a few, you know, dollars in the bank. My life has been successful. Oh, what a great nation we live in. How about fighting to try to make the nation right for everybody? You know, if you can do that, if we can make that happen, then that flag that we're all talking about, then I can get with that, right? Then I can agree with you about the greatness of the stars and stripes. But until that is done, until everybody in the nation gets a fair and equitable opportunity, then it's hard to envision what it is many of you are feeling. As long as corporations can take advantage of the citizens and our elected officials allow it, then stop telling me about the greatness of it. You know, it's not. It's not. It could be. It should be. But at the root of it, it's not. And as Tom always says, it can be. But we have to make it that. And you don't make it that by knowing what's going on and not challenging those in power to do what is right. To do what is right is to want for each American citizen what you want for yourself. And not praising major corporations that wax rich off of conning and conniving the American people. That's not it. That's falling short. And unfortunately, far too often, when it comes to the average person in this country, things fall short. Now, when money becomes the god and people don't matter, we got a real problem. And that's what we're facing in this country, a moral problem. That in a nation that was supposedly founded under the Judeo-Christian ethic. You know, everything I've read about Christianity and Judaism, it doesn't point to take advantage of your fellow man. So then let's stop talking about what it was founded under and start trying to make it that. Because in the end, anything short of that, and the nation is headed towards a horrible, horrible fall. You know, there are nations before this one and greater than this one that are no longer there. You are a fool if you think it can't happen to this one. This is the greatest nation in the last 2,000 years, no question. But there's no guarantee at the rate she's going that she's going to remain. We gotta wake up, America. And we've got to do what's right by people, not by what's right for corporations and the wealthy. We got to do what's right for the people of this nation and the peoples of the world. That's the end of my sermon. Got to go. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.